the lost, and what God has recorded for us there is, of course, the progression of not only an individual, an unsaved individual, but of societies when they choose to say there is no God and where it leads. And we saw that last week, that they're without excuse, as we saw there in verse 20, and the downward spiral, if you will, of individuals. I'll just review what happens. The first thing is they become foolish in their hearts. Then we saw that they give themselves up to uncleanness. Then they begin to worship and serve the creature more than the creator. And then they are given up by God unto vile affections. And then God gives them a reprobate mind, where we find ourselves now. So we're obviously at the end times. But there's so much in this passage, I didn't want to just go through it without at least stopping and going through it a second time. Saved people can be led astray as well. Saved people can go away from God as well. And I want us to look at it from that perspective. And I've retitled it, How to Avoid Darkness. You can give it whatever title you want, but it's going to be the same passage, but from the perspective of we need to watch out ourselves. Because the devil's the god of this world. We live in a world of darkness. He's the prince of darkness. And if we're not careful, we can head down that wrong path too. And so we'll start there in verse 19 again and read down through, we'll just stop at 23. So it says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. So how to avoid darkness. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now as we look into your word tonight that you would use your word in our hearts and lives. Lord, to just give us a warning that we need to take heed to, that the devil's always trying to pull us away from the light, from you. And Lord, that we might be on the lookout for the signs. So I pray you'll use your word to encourage us, to convict us, to grow us, whatever the need might be. Most of all, Lord, to give us protection and victory from the devil in the future. So we ask this in Jesus' name. We love you, and we pray in his name. Amen. So, again, as we saw last week, God put within us a conscience. Included in that conscience is a knowledge of right and wrong, but also included in that conscience is an innate knowledge that we do have a creator. And that's why nobody would be able to stand before God and say, well, God, I didn't know you existed. God will say, you did know. I put it in you. And they will be without excuse. Man chooses because of sin to say, I don't want to believe there's a God. It's not because he doesn't want to believe there's a God. It's because he doesn't want to be accountable to God. That's really the issue, as we saw last week. It's always sin. Now, John 3:19 says, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. The issue is always sin and accountability for sin. Man does not want to be accountable for his behavior. He'd much rather just do what he wants to do and believe he's going to die and be like a dog and there's nothing left. But deep in his heart, he knows that's not true. From a child, he's known that's not true. But what about from the perspective of the saved? Can a saved person be led astray? Can a saved person be led into this down this dark path? And the answer is yes. Now, we can't be led to hell, hallelujah, if we have salvation in Jesus Christ. We are safe and secure in him. But the devil still, in our chapel this morning, we saw the devil is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. And that is primarily talking about Christians. He really isn't interested in chasing after the lost, they're already going to his domain. But Christians, if he can discourage them, if he can ruin their testimony, then he's going to try. So where does it all begin? Verse 21, that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. There's this thing called pride. We all have a problem with it. And if ever in our Christian lives we get to the point where we try to take some of God's glory upon ourselves, or even try to give it to a man instead of to God, we're in a dangerous place. Because God's already made it very clear that he will not share his glory with anyone. And yet, how many times are we tempted, especially if we've been saved a while, to take just a little bit of that for ourselves? And yet the Bible makes it very clear that we're to do all to what? His glory. Do all to the glory of God, 1 Corinthians 10:31. And then 1 Corinthians 6, let's look at it quickly, 19 and 20 says, God gets all the glory because he owns us. Anything that we accomplish, we didn't accomplish it, God did. 1 Corinthians 6, most of you know verse 19. What, know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? So God indwells us when we get saved, which is in you, which you have of God. You're not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, we talked with the young people about that word, therefore. So he's saying, now that you've been told that you've been bought with a price, you've been bought with the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, what should we do? Glorify God. In your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He owns us. He bought us. He redeemed us with the blood of his only Son. And he says, I want you to glorify me. And all that we do is to bring glory to God. If we are tempted to bring glory to self or to man, we are in a dangerous place. He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord, the Bible says. So that would be warning number one. Don't ever try to take any glory upon yourself or give any glory to man. What's the second warning, verse 21? Neither were thankful. Now, we know what the Bible says about being thankful, but oftentimes we don't really think about those verses when we have trials, when someone hurts us, when we lose our job, when our car breaks down. It's tough to be thankful at those times, isn't it? Yet how many times are we told as God's children, and we'll just look at a couple of samples, Ephesians 5:20, we'll start there, and I'll quote a couple as well, but look at Ephesians 5:20. Look what it says. Giving thanks, how often? Always. For what? All things. Wow. Always for all things. I would say that pretty much covers it, wouldn't you? Give thanks always for all things. In other words, keep giving thanks all day long, every day, and be thankful for every single thing. And this is not just a one-off thing in the Bible. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Colossians 3:17, whatsoever you do, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks. Hebrews 13:15, by him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Continually be praising the Lord. And those are just some samples. But sometimes, look at Israel in the desert. God allows a trial in our lives, and instead of being thankful, we get angry. We get frustrated. We even might get angry at God. We even might begin to blame God and murmur and complain against God. By the way, God hates that. Nothing angered him more in Israel's behavior than when they murmured and complained about him. And that's the opposite of being thankful, right? Is being unthankful or ungrateful. So this is a command for Christians that we be thankful for everything. And God says that one of the things that leads these people to darkness is when they become unthankful, when they are not thankful. Well, that would apply to Christians as well. Because if we're not thankful, we're unthankful. And being ungrateful and unthankful is a sin. So the first thing we see there to beware of is never take any of God's glory. The second thing is continue to be thankful for everything, no matter how many trials you find yourself in, no matter how rough it might be, God's in control. And to be unthankful is essentially to say, like we were talking with the young people in our session this afternoon, it's essentially saying God's in making a mistake. Or God is somehow being mean to us. And neither of those things is ever true, is it? God never makes mistakes, and God always does what's best for us. So to be unthankful is essentially blaspheming God. So that would be the second thing. The third thing, verse 21, that but they became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I'll ask you tonight, does the devil ever attack your imaginations? If he doesn't, then you're probably not saved. Not to be rude, but the devil knows that is a prime battleground for him, and he uses it against us all the time. So that takes us to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 quickly, if we could. But God tells us that we must always be on guard in our imaginations. Notice what it says, chapter 10, verse 5. Casting down what? Imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every what? Thought to the obedience of Christ. I don't know about you, but that sounds like work to me. Because it is. This is a never-ending battle until we leave this earth. The devil is going to keep going after our thoughts and our imaginations. And we understand that the scriptures help us and give us direction on how to combat that. We've talked about that in our chapel sessions, but we must guard our imaginations. Because if we just let them run free and do what they want to do, we're wicked sinners, and the devil loves to feed that. When we let our imaginations drift. You know, the Bible says in Romans 16, we're to be simple concerning evil. We're to be wise about the Lord and His Word, but when it comes to evil, He wants us to be simple. He doesn't want us to delve into it and study it and get to know it really well. He wants us to be simple concerning evil. Otherwise, we're treading on dangerous ground. It says, if you look at Ephesians 4:18, that this can lead us to being alienated from God. Look what it says, Ephesians 4:18. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them. We don't want this to happen to us, that our understanding becomes darkened. But if we don't protect our imaginations, it can. You don't think there are Christians out there who let their imaginations run wild into the darkness? They are. And now that we have the internet, it's even worse. So another way to protect ourselves is we must be on guard all the time. Not only about the glory that only belongs to God, not only about never being ungrateful, but always being thankful for all things, but also that we must protect our imaginations, guard our thought life. I think that's three. Number four is in verse 22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. What's this have to do with Christians? Well, God warns us. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. But God warns us that we should never, ever, ever get to the point where we think we've arrived. And this includes in our understanding. Now, it's not that any of us would ever stand up and tonight, if given the opportunity, and say, yep, I understand every word of the Bible perfectly. There's no point in me studying it anymore because I got it sussed from beginning to end. None of us would ever stand up and say that because we know that's just foolishness. But doesn't the devil come alongside sometimes and whisper and say, you really don't need to study your Bible today? Or when it's time to teach a class, you don't really need to study for that. You've taught classes for 30 years. You don't need to study. Just do it in your own wisdom. Notice 1 Corinthians 3:18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. Who does? God. God takes the wise in their own craftiness. 1 Corinthians 8:2, if any man think that he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. If we ever get to the point where we say, yeah, I got it all figured out, it's exactly where the devil wants us. And so my advice, number four, is plead ignorance. Be constantly willing to say, Lord, I need your direction, I need your wisdom, I haven't figured it all out yet. Help. I'm ignorant. As long as we keep saying that to the Lord, we're in the right place. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him. James 1:5. So plead ignorance. And then this fifth one is kind of interesting, one that we might not have thought about. Verse 23, and change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image, made like to corruptible man and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. And I just wrote here, number five, avoid images. But see, when we see that word images, we only think about little idols sitting on the shelf, don't we? But hasn't the devil kind of turned things around and made a lot of images available on the internet that man shouldn't be looking at? Things that can lead man astray? Absolutely. And so that would be part of, you know, Job himself, the oldest book in the Bible. Job said, I've made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? David said in Psalm 101, verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. And by the way, David had learned the hard way after his sin with Bathsheba, that you don't act upon what your eyes feed your mind and your heart. So avoid images. Don't allow them to enter into your head. If at all possible, avoid any images that you know are going to lead you astray. And this has been around since the Ten Commandments, hasn't it? He said, of course, the Catholic Church took this one out and said it's not a commandment, and they took the last one and turned it into two. I wonder why they did that. In Exodus 20, where it says, don't make unto thee any graven image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in the earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth. Anybody ever walked into a Catholic church? Now you know why they don't have that as one of the Ten Commandments. Because it's filled with them, isn't it? It's just almost overwhelming. The images, they're everywhere, and all these carvings. God said, don't do it. Sometimes I'm not even 100% comfortable even just having a cross, because it's an image. But God says avoid them. Because what can happen is it can lead a Christian to the same place, verse 24, uncleanness. Living a sinful lifestyle. Are there Christians out there not going to church, not reading their Bibles, not praying, and living a sinful lifestyle? Yes. If you were able to sit them down and interview them and they could be honest with you, you would find out that did not happen overnight. It happened in little steps. That's how the devil works. So we need to be careful and watch every little step. Never try to take the glory from God. Be thankful for every single thing. Never be ungrateful. Never be angry at God. Guard our thought life, because the devil's after it. Never think that we've figured it all out, but continually beg God for wisdom and direction, and then avoid what we allow into the eye gate, because it can lead us astray. God knew this when he sent Israel into the promised land. He kept telling them, maybe it seems harsh, but kill everything. Kill everything. I can see people standing back and saying, oh, that's just too harsh. God said, kill everything. Kill them all. And guess what? Like we saw last Sunday morning, 7 tribes didn't do it. 7 tribes said, oh, that's too much work. And they made friends with them. And they said, let's cohabitate. Let's marry each other's kids off. And next thing you know, what are they doing? But worshiping idols. God knew this would happen. He told them it would happen. And it happened. And it sent them off into the book of Judges, hundreds of years of worshiping idols, being rescued, worshiping idols, being rescued. And it all started with images. So don't underestimate their power. And don't underestimate the devil's power to try to lead us astray. We're more powerful than he is. Never forget that. Not because of who we are, but because of who's in us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It's not that we need to go around cowering and saying, oh, I wonder where the devil is. Oh, I'm so afraid of the devil. But at the same time, we do need to respect him and realize he's after us, like a roaring lion. And these are some of the areas where he will try to get to us and lead us astray. So we need to guard ourselves and protect ourselves from the darkness. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you for this.